are going to talk about the healing power of music this hour with a guest who has firsthand experience with that power. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will hear his story about being healed with the help of music, and we will wonder if you have been healed or comforted by music when you were ill. We'll hear some of the music that our guest plays for patients as a medical musician. And we will talk about Wakening the Spirit, a musician's journey healing body, mind, and soul. But first, as they say, some very important business to accomplish. Jean Purcell joins me as we are in our fall membership drive, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you to everyone who has already pledged. Thank you to everyone who is a sustainer, who's already contributing on a monthly basis, or maybe you give by mail. WPR relies on listeners like you. Your support is the single largest piece of the budget. If you haven't given yet, now is the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, in the last hour, we had a terrific hour. We had a goal of 50 calls. We wound up exceeding that handily. 72
Great.
Pledges in all, 38 brand new members. What a fantastic hour. And thanks to everyone who made a pledge of support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Of course, around here, a new hour means a new goal. Our goal this hour, 45 pledges by 9 o'clock. These goals are set up to make sure the WPR has the funding it needs to pay for the programs you rely on. And it's up to you to help us meet that goal with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I mentioned that your support is the biggest slice of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget pie. So while all of our funding sources, state and federal government and businesses, are important, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is. Thanks to listener support, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, and sometimes you just can't resist asking for the latest WPR logo thank you gift. This drive, we've got something pretty cool, the WPR Day Pack. Give $15 a month or more and ask for this handy bag. It can be worn like a tote on your shoulder, or it turns into a backpack. It's medium-sized, great for day trips. Take it to a park, on a hike, stuff it with groceries, your gym clothes, hopefully not at the same time. Use it as your commuter bag. The options really are endless. It's gray with black detail featuring the WPR and NPR logos. Check it out at WPR.org. Ask for this versatile bag and show your support for WPR when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So the Day Pack is your gift for $15 a month or more. You decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Pick an amount that's right for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's an election year, and boy, what an election year it has been, and what an election year it's shaping up to be. It's far, far, far from being over and far from being decided. And it has been one of those years where, you know, you hear something, and it's like, did I really hear that? And, you know, here at WPR, we will tell you whether you really heard it. We'll try to put all of that in context and keep you informed of all the latest developments every step of the way.
We take you beyond the sound bites. You hear from a wide range of perspectives on all of the issues. We will be taking the show on the road later in October. The Joy Cardine Show, along with Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now, will be part of what we are calling Wisconsin Vote on the Road. And we will be live broadcasts and non-broadcast events in Green Bay, Wausau, and La Crosse. So it's this kind of in-depth news and talk service that you count on, and it is only possible with listener support. Cast a vote for Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never made a pledge before, I can tell you that it's easy to do, and here is basically what you can expect. It's a pretty short process. It takes just a few minutes. You'll answer some very basic questions. We'll need your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and then finally, how you'd like to pay for it.
And that's it.
That's it.
You've made your first donation to WPR, and you really will feel good about it. Many first-time donors give $5 a month or maybe $10 a month. You decide at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
44 pledges to go in about the next 46 minutes or so let's keep the momentum going. We've had some great, great hours this morning, and it would be nice to see that trend continue. It's your gift right now that can make that happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you to Peter from Broadhead, who says, "This is my primary source for reliable news, national and state. I appreciate the care and integrity given to the reporting. I appreciate the many voices from around the state and nation that are heard throughout the day on WPR. Thanks for all you do." Thank you for your pledge, Peter. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 if you would like to support a service you value. Thank you, Gene. We'll talk to you later. Now let's talk about the healing power of music. As I mentioned, our guest has firsthand experience with the healing power of music. He even credits it with saving his life. This song, in fact. Our guest is a medical musician, and he is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. He was facing a life-threatening illness. He was in a coma in intensive care when his wife played him this, his favorite song, and it revived him. So we will talk about the healing power of music. We will welcome questions that you might have. We will welcome experiences that you might have had. Have you experienced the healing or at least the comforting power of music? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest, very happy to have with us, Andrew Shulman, the resident musician in the Surgical Intensive Care Unit at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in New York City. He is the founder and artistic director of the Abaca String Band, which has performed throughout the United States. His very first performance was in Wisconsin. We'll learn more about that and welcome your thoughts and questions for him. He is the author of the new book, Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey, Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. And he joins us from the Argo Studios in New York City. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Because our time is limited, and I'm sorry to say, your story is it's riveting and it's profound. But tell us what happened when you were in the surgical intensive care unit, and I believe it was your wife who had you listen to this this song, Saint Matthew Passion by Bach.
Sure, I had a surgery, major surgery. This is July 2009, and it was a pretty miraculous surgery in that I had a 99% diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, and in the surgery, it was discovered that the mass was benign, so everybody was overjoyed with that, and the surgeon goes downstairs at the end of the surgery to tell my wife, and they're overjoyed, but what they didn't know was as I was being wheeled from the operating room to the surgical ICU. We call it the SICU.
Yeah.
I went into shock. I went into anaphylactic shock, and no one will ever know for sure exactly why. And by the time I arrived in the SICU 5 minutes later, I was clinically dead. They had a great medical team there. They were able to resuscitate me, even though when I arrived, they thought I was already past that, but they did. But I was massively sick, and my whole system just broke down. And I was put into a medically induced coma, and they do that to buy mm-hmm. time. That coma lasted for a week. In the first 3 days, nobody thought I would live. And in the middle of the third day, it appeared that I was within an hour or two of dying, permanently dying. In medical terms, you have clinical death, which you can come back from, and permanent death, you're gone.
Yeah.
At that moment, in the middle of that third day, my wife had an epiphany, and she realized that medicine had gone as far as it could go. Her voice had gone as far as it could go, but nothing was working. And she saw my iPod in her bag, turned to the doctor, and said that she thought that the only thing that could reach me was music. She told him, I've been a professional musician all my life, and I love music more than anything. And the doctor, who could have said no, because they're very risk-averse, mm-hmm. but he said yes, and they didn't know what music to play. Luckily for me, my ultimate favorite music is the St. Matthew Passion of Bach, which was the first track. They just hit the first track.
Oh my goodness.
And I had not been stable for a second for 3 days. And by the end of the 30 minutes the doctor had allotted as the full amount of time to try, I began to stabilize. I had been terminally ill by that point. I had a buildup of acid in my tissues that was at a terminal level. By late afternoon, the acid had receded from my tissues. By that evening, the doctors said that I was basically out of the woods, and everybody in the medical staff who was there attributed the turnaround specifically to the music.
Is there some science or research that would indicate why hearing your favorite song could essentially save your life?
Yeah. Well, first of all, fortunately for those of us who do medical music, whether it's a music therapist or somebody like me, I have a new specialty, which I call medical musician. The best thing that we've had is the fact that in the summer of 2015, in August 2015, The Lancet, which is one of the leading medical journals in the world, it's based in London, they published a 7-year study. It was a meta-analysis, actually, of 73 different studies they conducted over, and they analyzed of studies that had been done in the past 7 years before that. And the name of the study is The Effect of Music in Post-Operative Care with Adults. And I'll simply tell you that at the end of the study, the researchers wrote that medical music should be in intensive care units in every hospital in the world, and that the data from that study conclusively proves that music has a valuable medical effect.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you came out of your life-threatening situation and you found out that your favorite music rescued you?
Well, what happened was the first morning out of the coma, and by the way, when you're in a coma and you wake up, you didn't know you were in a coma.
Right.
So 8 days after my surgery is when I came to. It was actually 3 a.m. and nobody was around. So I assumed at that moment that I had pancreatic cancer and was going to be dead in anywhere from a few months or a little bit more than that. And it wasn't until 8 a.m. when my wife walked in, Wendy. And when she did walk in, I just looked up from the bed and said, "Hi, Wendy." And that smile on her face was once-in-a-lifetime
wow.
smile. But she then came to the bedside and she said verbatim, your surgery wasn't yesterday. It was 8 days ago. You don't have cancer. You went into shock, and they saved your life. And you're going to be okay. Now, imagine the scenario. So I was silent for a full minute, and Wendy says that at that time, after 25 years of marriage, that was the longest I'd ever been silent when I wasn't playing the guitar. But a lot of stuff went through my head, which is all described in the book, in chapter 4 in the book. This is the moment that happens. The outcome after 1 minute is that I knew I had to give back. And I didn't have money that I could donate. The only thing I could give was music. At that point, I'd been a professional guitarist in New York for 35 years. And I made the decision right in that moment. I looked at her and I said, with what happened to me, you can't thank God enough or your doctors and nurses or your loved ones. To give thanks, you have to give something. This place is gloomy. It needs music. I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, the chief doctor in the surgical ICU, Dr. Marvin McMillan, was a music guy. And he'd already had experience in London with an organization called Alive Music Now that has to do with healing music. And he said yes. And 6 months later, after I recovered, I returned there to that same place where my life was saved. And that was 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago.
And so now you are a medical musician. What does that mean exactly? What do you do as a medical musician?
Okay. So in the book, I describe that term as an informal term because they have a music therapy department at Beth Israel Hospital. And at one point early on, the director of that department had sent me an email. She'd been observing me, and she said, you know, you have a talent for this. Did you ever think of becoming a music therapist? And I got very excited about that, did a little research, and discovered that I'd have to go back to school for 2 years and do a lot of homework. And I was 57 years old and still in a very active music career. So I thought, okay, that's not what I want to do. And I'm more than a volunteer, though. By this time, it was maybe 2 months into doing this, I knew that I'd found a new path in life. So eventually, I came up with this term, medical musician, which is based on a term, Pythagoras, the famous Greek mathematician Pythagoras, who was also a musician. And he had his own school of musical healing. He called it musical medicine. So I started using the term medical musician. And I am also at a second hospital now at Berkshire Medical Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, right near the famous festival, the Tanglewood Music Festival. And I go there 1 week a month. And at that hospital this year, I was given the formal title of Medical Musician Surgery Department.
Wonderful.
So what I – thank you. What I do is I am an active member there, and it's the same at Beth Israel, except I haven't received a formal title there. I'm part of the medical team in the surgical intensive care unit, and we fairly quickly discovered the things that music could do, where it was very effective, especially in terms of stabilizing the vital signs, which are the heart rate, blood pressure, the oxygenation level, and respiration. It can be, with certain patients, very effective in pain control, which means you have to use less analgesics, the painkiller drugs. It's very effective in something called ICU delirium, which I have a whole – actually, I have really two chapters in the book that are based on ICU delirium. And the follow-up – actually, that's chapter 10. Chapter 11 is more of a discussion about how why and how music causes the less use of analgesics, how it's effective in pain control.
We'll talk more about the healing power of music after a short break. But I did want you, Andrew, to I wanted you to. I know that you brought in. Guitar, I believe, to play some music that you play to your patients.
Yes.
And I know that one of the first songs you think of to play when you visit patients in the ICU is Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles?
Yeah, that's the sound of it is sheer sunshine. It's very, very effective.
I can imagine that being something that might get through to someone. Can you play that one as we go to break?
Sure. Here we go.
He is the resident musician in the surgical intensive care unit at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in New York City. He is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. He discovered firsthand the healing power of music when it saved his life, and now he helps patients by playing music. And we will welcome your questions for him, and we will welcome your own experiences with the healing power of music after this. We are talking about the healing power of music this hour, and we'll get back to our discussion in just a moment. But first, this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Jean Purcell, and our goal is to keep bringing you interesting and important discussions on the issues and ideas of the day, including issues like the healing power of music. Your support makes it happen. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you're right, that's our overarching goal. This hour, we've got a more tangible goal in the next 30 minutes of 31 more pledges in order to stay on track. If you give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now, you'll be supporting the station you love. It's your public radio.
Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do run into people who think that. And it's true. We do get some funding from the federal government. We also receive funding from the state of Wisconsin. But it's listener contributions that make up the single largest source of our income.
Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important your support is to WPR, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member to Wisconsin Public Radio, first of all, thank you so much for your continuing support. It's sustaining members who provide vital and very stable support for WPR. If you're already a member, as I say, thank you for that ongoing support. But if you aren't a sustainer yet, this is your opportunity. You can become one right now.
As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly deductions from your bank account or credit card, and that support will automatically renew every year. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support helped make it happen.
When you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network this election season, you hear in-depth analysis from experts on political issues affecting you in your own backyard and that affect you at a national level.
Do you think it's irresponsible to vote for a third-party candidate? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Time for another All Things Political. We have a lot to talk about.
We've been doing a series of candidate interviews ahead of Wisconsin's primary elections, and we've invited
just as you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio for a comprehensive look at all of the latest political news, WPR relies on you to make those conversations happen. Support your source this election season at WPR.org or give at 888-202-2552.
A gift to Wisconsin Public Radio is like a gift to the community. You enjoy this radio station, and so do many others.
That's right, many others all across Wisconsin, really around the world these days. And it's your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio that serves that entire community of listeners. It's your gift of $100 or $200 that makes it possible for everyone to enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge right now for yourself and for the community at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Speaking of listeners all over the world, at least all over the country, Lisa from San Francisco, California pledged. She says, I spend lots of time in Madison and I listen to you all the time. I am proud to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you, Lisa. Laura from Madison says, as a young professional trying to be an informed citizen while trying to balance an entry-level job and commute, WPR allows me to do that by listening during my commute. Thank you very much. Thank you for your support, and I hope you will join them with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are looking for 45 pledges during this hour, and we have 31 to go, so we can do that with your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Gene. We'll talk to you in just a bit. Time to return to our conversation about the healing power of music. We are talking with Andrew Shulman, who is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey, Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. And we are talking about his own experience with the healing power of music. He credits it with, and so do the doctors, with saving his life. He was in a induced coma in the intensive care unit. People thought he was going to die when he heard his favorite song and began to stabilize. And that that made him become what is called a resident musician in the surgical intensive care unit at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in New York. He plays music to the patients there, and I take it, Andrew, that it's helping them.
Yes, it is. Joy, if I just take a quick moment, I'm an old radio guy, and I also believe in the healing power of radio. I was so happy to hear that I'd be on during a pledge drive, and yesterday, I want you to know, I made a pledge to your to WPR, and if you guys were wondering who made the anonymous $100,000 pledge yesterday, it was not me. I hope you got $100,000.
I was like, oh, my goodness, oh, yeah. my goodness.
Wouldn't that be nice, right? Well, maybe if
they
sell the film
rights. Thank you so much.
Rights.
That was above and beyond. Oh. And it does, you know, I mean, that generosity and the knowledge that people value what you do so much that they're willing to contribute is that's healing in a way, too. It certainly lifts your spirit, that's for sure. And thank you so much for your pledge. I mean, that's
sure.
Wonderful. And thank you for bringing your guitar to the studio so you can play some of the music that you play the patients that you deal with. You were playing Here Comes the Sun when we went to break. As you think this is just talk about what you think is going on there while you're playing Here Comes the Sun to the patients.
Well, it's interesting with that particular tune because it's very effective on the macro level and the micro level, meaning sometimes I will just pick a spot in the unit, not at a bedside, but just a spot where I could be heard throughout the unit. And that tune really, it does, for lack of a better term, it really does lift spirits. It's just the nature of the music. And one of the things that I talk about in the book at one point, I started thinking about the most effective music, because I've been doing this 7 years, and I had a lot of time to really observe what kind of music was most powerful. And I talk about the three bodies of work that have the most pieces in it that are effective. And it was the music of Bach, the music of Gershwin, and the music of the Beatles. And in one of the chapters, it's in, I think, chapter 12, which is an overview of being a medical musician in an ICU, I'm talking to a former patient. Her name is Dina Rosenberg, who is a real scholar in music and theater. And her husband, Ernie Harburg, who's the son of Yip Harburg, who wrote the lyrics to Over the Rainbow and Paper Moon and so many great hits. Mm. And when we were talking about these three great bodies of work, Beatles, Gershwin, Bach, and I was saying I was always trying to, you know, make what's the connection, why they connect with people so much. Ernie started laughing and he said that I was not seeing the forest for the trees. He said, you realize, of course, that even with the Bach, the music that saved me and a lot of the Bach that I play, chorale melody, is vocal music. It's my arrangements of vocal music, certainly Gershwin and the Beatles. And that the crucial connection there is that when people are listening to this, not only the patients, but another important constituency is the staff, the doctors and the nurses. By playing it as an instrumental piece, a tune that's well known to a lot of people, they start singing, even if it's singing in their, silently in their head, it activates more of the brain. And even a tune like Here Comes the Sun, just the title itself and the lyrics evokes images that are very lifting and very powerful that way. So the crucial thing in understanding why music can be such an effective medical modality is to know that music activates more of the brain than any other stimulus. That's a medical fact. That's a scientific fact. You can see that on fMRIs and other ways of understanding that to be effective that way. And if you're activating so much of the brain, you're also creating all kinds of good chemicals, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and these chemicals then get made in larger quantities and travel through the body and are very healing. It's soothing, it's healing, and it helps to speed the healing process. And the more a person likes or loves music, it can even have dramatic effects, as it did with me. And on a number of occasions, I've been able to do for other people in a coma what happened to me in music saving me.
You've had patients awake from their coma while you were playing music?
Well, it's not so much awaking them from the coma, but stabilizing them the coma and turning them around. I have actually heard some stories of people having music played where they actually came out of the coma. I haven't seen that directly myself. The last story, the last chapter in the book, the first story in that chapter, the chapter is called Wild Horses. And that's the one story I put into the book where I did for someone in his coma. I called him my English patient. And again, I can also use his name because I have permission to use it in the book and on interviews. His name is Elliot Bernard, who was a former chairman of the board of the London Symphony and the Royal Philharmonic, a real music guy. And that's the only story in the book I use where it was the turning point and the music, according to everyone there, really saved his life, literally. And it's the only reason I have that is the only story. Well, you don't want to do too many of those in a book. It loses the power a little bit. But everybody was there, meaning the doctors, nurses, and his family were all there. And the written record shows that that was the turnaround point.
Let me jump in just for a moment because I want to remind our listeners that you can join in with questions that you might have about the healing or soothing power of music for our guest, who is a medical musician. Andrew Shulman is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey, Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. Do you have a song in particular that do you think is healing or has helped you heal? 1-800-642-1234. Do you work in the medical profession? Do you believe in the healing power of music? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I think it's great, Andrew, that you you kind of have three big categories of songs, and we heard a little bit of Bach, your favorite song that helped you. Heard a little bit of the Beatles. What George Gershwin song do you often play for hospital patients?
One of the best. And again, when you, here's a very important thing, is you have to make assessments when you're at a bedside of what you think is going to, I like to use the term resonance frequency. I'm trying to find the resonance frequency of that patient, because about 80% of the people I play for can't tell you what they want to hear. So you have to be very focused, and you're watching the patient, you're watching the computer monitor for the vital signs, etc. There are situations where if I want to, if I see somebody is a little, looking a little depressed and sinking away, you can see it on their face, I will play a tune similar to this one. This is Gershwin's, I won't even tell you, everybody will recognize it. I'll play just a little bit of the opening.
That's really great, Andrew. I'm going to let you keep on playing as we go to break again. And when we come back, we will take many people who want to join in our conversation. We are talking with Andrew Shulman. He is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey, Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. And Gene Purcell is here, and he knew exactly what that song was, that George Gershwin song. Sounded like Summertime and the Living is Easy.
It sure did. Yeah. And, you know, and it really kind of is one of those songs that does resonate with people, and mm-hmm. you can really see how that could make a difference. Well, we're talking about making a difference this morning, too, as part of the WPR Pledge Drive, and as part of that, we've got a goal this hour. 24 pledges left to go in about the next 15 minutes. We're moving along pretty well, and that sounds a little daunting, but, you know, I actually feel pretty good about it. Your gift right now is so important to us, because your gift is the gift that helps us support the programs you rely on every single day.
Yeah, thank you if you've pledged already. Your pledge helps pay for the programming you value. We've talked about the benefits of being messy so far today. We talked about politics during our On the Campaign Trail segment. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Tell Joy Where to Go in Wisconsin for a great Wisconsin experience. We're going to talk about colorism in American families. Tomorrow we have the Week in Review. Now we are talking about the healing power of music. You get a wide variety of information and discussions on the Joy Cardine Show, and this programming costs money, and your support helps keep this program on the air. Pledge now any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we have a lot of stories about where people first heard Wisconsin Public Radio, and it may be that one of your first childhood memories was hearing WPR on your parents' radio, or maybe you've picked it up later on in life. In any case, you started, and since then, you've been hooked. You can't get enough in-depth conversations, music, and great entertainment.
Now you are all grown up, and it's your turn to become members like your parents are. Help pay for the hours of high-quality programming that you've enjoyed day after day, year after year. We invite you to join the WPR family. Join the radio that's been a part of your life since you can remember with a gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This fall membership drive, we've got a special and useful thank you gift. Ask for the WPR Day Pack when you give $15 a month. Your WPR logo Day Pack will always come in handy. Just ask our staff.
I could certainly see carrying this, you know, around town. You could carry stuff around town or on a hike.
I could see using this for soccer games, putting my soccer gear in here.
It fits probably a pair of shoes and a basketball.
Check it out for yourself at WPR.org. Then you can move through your day with ease and show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. It can be yours when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Gene Purcell, and we are encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Help us reach our goal of 45 pledges. We have 24 to go. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, and throughout the morning, throughout the hours, you hear about the number of pledges that come in the door and online. And, you know, those are all of your friends and neighbors who are supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join them. Join everyone who believes in the value of Wisconsin Public Radio and who also believe it's important to support it, because seriously, it does take the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station just as good as it can be.
Jared and Carrie from Prairie du Sac, thank you for your pledge. They say five of our pre-programmed stations in the car are WPR stations. That's right. We have a lot of stations. Mm-hmm. No matter where we drive, we want to make sure we can keep listening to WPR's entertaining and informative programs. We are first-time givers, and it feels great to finally be directly supporting the stations we rely on day after day. Thank you. Well, wonderful.
It's terrific. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Jared and Carrie. And let's help join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Just 24 pledges to go in the next few minutes. And you will help support WPR, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
And we'll get back to our conversation on the healing power of music after this. Our guest this hour considers this song a lifesaver. It's his favorite song. It's one of his favorite songs, and he credits it with saving his life. He is a medical musician. He is the author of Waking the Spirit, A Musician's Journey, Healing Body, Mind, and Soul. And he is here to talk with you about the healing power of music. He is Andrew Shulman. He is a resident musician in the Surgical Intensive Care Unit at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in New York City. We have callers, so in limited time, so let's go to Janet in Laval next. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Joy. I'm a sustaining member. I travel in my vehicle about 70,000 miles a year, and I discovered public radio 2 or 3 years ago, and that's the only station I have. I've been fine. It's in any state that I travel in, and it may be something entertaining. It may be, you know, brief, unbiased news. I just love public radio.
Thank you, Jane.
But I have a song, I Can See Clearly Now, and I'm almost starting to cry again. Whenever I hear that song, I can do a flashback in my mind of very stressful times with children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, times of illness, you know, with losing a brother very quickly from a heart attack. And I hear that song, and I can do flashbacks, and it just gives me peace. It just gives me this warm, fuzzy feeling, and it's just absolutely the song that works for me.
I love that story, Janet. I'm sorry for the pain you have experienced in the past, but I'm happy that you had a song that could soothe the soul. There we go, Andrew. I wanted to get to the healing your body, mind, and soul. We talked about the body, but it also can help your mind and soul, can't it?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, and I would say that the story that Janet just told, it can be described also now from research we've done as to why it can be that that effect is there. There is not one center of music in the brain. It's somewhere between 15 and 20. You know, this is a new science, and it's growing all the time. And what we know now is between 15 and 20 centers of music throughout the brain, and a number of them are adjacent to centers for memory and emotion. So you can see from the story we just heard how that would interconnect there, the neural pathways and all of the different things that happen in this amazing, complex thing that is the human brain. But it touches on both emotion, as she said, and so interesting that she brings up memory.
Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Andrew, but do you know I can see clearly now?
I can see clearly now into the control room where Paul, the engineer, is, but I don't know the tune. I can see clearly now.
All right, that's good. Ellie on Facebook says, I have heard how nursing homes use music to waken dementia clients. They are given iPods of their favorite tunes, and they begin to interact again with the community in which they live. And I've seen videos along those lines, too, where somebody who might not remember much or communicate much, but once he heard some of his favorite old tunes, he remembered those, and he got into a conversation with his caregiver over, you know, the old-time music. So it's pretty powerful stuff, Andrew.
Yes, and it's exactly the same thing that we just were talking about. It's how music has an ability to unlock memories that is greater than any other stimulus. Wonderful book by Dr. Oliver Sacks called Musicophilia. I read it a year before my surgery. And he talks about dementia, Alzheimer's disease in that book. And it was having read his book, actually, that when I returned as a musician to the SICU, on that very first day, I actually remember thinking, okay, I know already that chemicals are made in the brain and cables are connected. And the cables, by that I understood as the nervous system, the neural pathways in the brain. So that is the physiological underpinning of why all of this works. And on that first day going back in, I actually made a decision not to go into the science part of it for a while. I wanted to return and just use the 35 years I had up to that point of experience as a professional musician, and also my experience as a very massively sick, critically ill patient, and just use my powers of observation, intuition, instinct. And I did that for the first 5 months, specifically focusing on that. And it's the very first story in the book, in the prologue of the book, right on the first page, where there was a patient, a woman, who had misfiring synapses after brain surgery, which is fairly common. It's not that dangerous, but it can really tie down the staff for hours at a time because the patient has to be tied down and can get pretty crazy. And it was that day when I walked into the SICU and one of the nurses spotted me and just said, get your guitar, get to bed 5 immediately. Oh. And I took out my guitar. I had a Bach prelude that I could play from memory. That's part of the book, is I had brain damage after my surgery and after the coma. I had lost the ability to play from memory except for a very few pieces. And I was curious what the effect would be, if any, of this music. Instinctively, I went to Bach, which I later found out was really the perfect choice for certain very clear reasons. And I looked at the clock on the wall, because at that point I was starting to time things. And I was curious if the music had an effect, how long it would take. It took 10 seconds. In fact, I have the guitar here. You want me to? I'll play the opening.
In fact, play it, and I'm going to have that be the song that you're going to be playing out for us because we're out of time. This has been wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And we're going to have you back because there's just so much more to talk about. Send us out with that song.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. I'd love to come back too. Bye.
I want to listen to this music and not welcome in Gene Purcell, but I will because we have just a minute or two left to ask you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio and for powerful conversations on things like the power of music. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you know, you hear the phrase, let the music do the talking. Well, you heard a good example of that this morning here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll let the programming do the talking for us and ask for your pledge of support. We're looking for 18 pledges in the next few minutes to stay on track and make our goal this hour, and it's your support that keeps this type of programming, that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio strong. You can help pay for the Joy Cardine Show with your gift at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, on this program you hear policymakers and politicos answer questions on a wide variety of state, national, and international topics. We have the Week in Review every Friday from 8 until 9, where we take a look back at the news of the week in politics.
Yeah, and that just is sort of the tip of the iceberg. The State Capitol Report, of course, with Sean Johnson. We have Tuesday, Money Matters with Kevin McKinley. Everybody loves that.
And we cover a lot of ground, and we couldn't do it without you. You are a listener, a caller, and I hope a contributor at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are looking for 18 more pledges, and I think we'll take some during the news as well. So please do continue to pledge. Help us reach our goal and help pay for a service that you value. Thanks to Luke in Green Bay. He says, I listen to WPR every morning, and every morning I feel a little less dumb than I did the day before. Thank you, Luke. This is the Ideas Network.